Blog Talk Radio.
Different.
Yeah.
Different. Cygnus inter innates. This is NSK. I am Noah Kaplowitz, but please call me Cap. I am the editor-in-chief, lead correspondent, fluffer, and founder of NSK Boxing. But more importantly than all that, with me is my right-hand man, the man of the half hour, the man who is too sweet to be sour, the Laverne to my Shirley, the road warrior hawk to my road warrior animal, and also the Bert to my Ernie. Ladies and gentlemen, the two, the only, Hollywood Balls Dave, Kansas, here I come,
no.
Sullivan.
Oh, thank you. That was quick. Kansas is quick.
It sneaks up on you. It's one of those things.
Yeah. People, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. Kansas is Cap and I's code word that we came up with for if we ever get a caller. Now, we've had a couple projects prior to this where we actually got a caller. And Kansas is the code word to just completely disconnect somebody from the show.
or disconnect ourselves from said show. It's like a BDSM-style safe word. Is what it is.
It's deep with us.
it's deep, and if it's too deep, it's Kansas.
Yeah. And if it's
and
too deep,
it's been a while.
Go further.
It's been a while.
Maybe a little bit of a holiday break.
Loved spending time with our respective families, the wives,
sort of.
The kids, the girlfriends.
A little bit.
Everybody.
Yeah, the girlfriends.
But
yeah, it was
back
nice.
Now.
It was good to. Yeah. And not
and also
a lot.
In the interest of further transparency, since Dave let the Kansas cat out of the Kansas bag, in the interest of further transparency, we assumed we were going to come back after almost a month of not doing a show. Again, due to the holidays and the girlfriends and the wives and the kids. And we thought that we would have so many topics, the show would virtually write itself, because surely, in such a lengthy span of time as a month, so much in the boxing world would happen that, like I said, the show would just write itself. And after a month away, Dave, not much happened.
Yeah, nothing to really report.
Plenty
lots of stuff on the horizon.
There's some stuff on the horizon. There's further proof that whatever the potential match between Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather touches turns to dreck. Because one of the most hallowed institutions online anyway in boxing, boxrec.com, what pros use to find out about the boxing world, posted two or three days ago that there was a fight set for Manny Pacquiao to finally take on Mayweather. And apparently that was false, because no deal is done. BoxRec had it set for May 2nd, and then now it's down, and it's bogus, and King Midas, everything he touched turned to gold. Everything freaking Pacquiao touches, everything Mayweather touches, everything Aaron touches, it turns to dreck, to poop.
Mm-hmm.
And that's further proof. So rest in peace, BoxRec.
Yeah, it's just a load of bunk.
Bunk, tomfoolery, shenanigans, all that
and
kind
of thing. And I've been waiting... you know, we have a good forum going, and we like to keep it pretty friendly on the forum, and people say, hey, you know. But what we don't tolerate is a lot of nonsense. So I've been fairly quiet on the forum. I mean, I do enjoy it. I go on, I like stuff, I comment on stuff that I want to talk about.
You're a member of the forum?
I don't want to. Surprisingly.
I didn't know that. I know that. We have a caller, actually. You know, what we were going to do, Dave, is Dave was going to just slow pitch me some fastballs right down the middle, and I was going to just tee off on him and just brag about how far out of the park they went in the form of upcoming bouts. But, Dave, how about we do that with the caller?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that. I'm going to click go on the caller, which is going to make him live. Or her, but let's not kid ourselves. It's a guy, because he's listening to this. So on a count of three, he's going to be on, and you're going to say, caller from the 508 area code, you're live on NSK Boxing. Could you do that?
I'll try.
Try real hard. One,
all right.
Two, three.
Hey, caller from the 50, I don't know what number you're from. Who's this?
This is Jesse, a contributor over at NSK Boxing. Actually.
Hey, what the hell are you calling?
Jesse.
Yes, I am braving the cold right now, as the fiancé wouldn't even let me turn my TV on because it was making too much noise. I'm like, all right, time to contribute. I'm going to walk the dog.
You're nuts.
She sounds like a great gal.
Oh, it's she's actually fantastic, but we hold opposite hours. You know, she gets up early and pays the bills. I stay up late and talk on boxing forums.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yep.
And Jesse, we're lucky enough. He's a learned boxing fan, a very knowledgeable sort. So our little idea, or my little idea of you hitting him up with some upcoming matches and looking for his picks, that works real well. So
fantastic.
Take it away, guys, and I'm going to sip my chamomile tea.
All right, Jesse, ready?
I'm ready to go.
Stavern Wilder, who do you got?
I think Stavern blows Wilder away. I think Wilder has been protected so long, he doesn't know what it's like to be in a fight with somebody who can throw punches. When I saw him against Jason Gabbern, I was really unimpressed. I know that he was expecting maybe someone a little higher caliber. But Gabbern looked to me like after, I can't remember what it was, four rounds, that he just quit the fight, essentially. It didn't feel like he really got blown away by Wilder. When I saw the Malik Scott fight, I thought that was one of the most kinky knockouts since Liston Clay. So it was one of those things where I feel like he's really been coddled so long by Al Haymon that this was fine. I think this is Al Haymon catching out on Wilder. I think this is him saying, okay, this is the biggest fight I can get for him. This is the most money I can get for him. And after this, we'll see where the road takes us. Maybe he's banking on the fact that Stavern does have a knockout on his record to a subpar opponent, but I don't think that Wilder is a complete enough fighter. The thing is you look at someone like Wilder, and then you watch something like Anthony Joshua, and
right.
at Joshua's extremely early state of development, he looks much more polished. He never looks wild in comparison. Wilder looks wild all the time. He looks like he flails his punches. He looks like he relies on his range, and almost in an early Tyson way, like that expectancy of his opponents to fold right up. And I think that he's going against somebody who doesn't care one little bit about that. You know, 32-0 with 32 knockouts, because he realized he's been knocking out cab drivers left and right.
Well, in the parlance of our times, exposed. Mm-hmm. We're going to see Wilder exposed for what he is, which is pretty much a rank amateur, and not an amateur in the nice sense of the word, not in the Cuban sense of the word.
No, absolutely.
Not
I mean,
in the Eastern European sense of the word.
Right. I mean, I don't mean to interject here, but I will. He's a bronze medalist who fights like a guy who wouldn't have qualified for the Olympics 30 years ago. I mean, the fact is that
right.
you look at early Tyson footage, and when he was robbed, he couldn't make the Olympic team. Of course, he went on to have a nice little run there. But, you know, that's one of those things where I feel like, you know, if you put him in the class of the early 80s, he's not even an alternate. I feel like he doesn't even show up to the games.
No.
Right.
No.
On the same card, we have Leo Santa Cruz versus Jesus Ruiz. Who do you got?
Jesus Ruiz. I think this
really?
Is a sign of how Hamany. Oh no, I mean I expect Elliot Ruiz is a guy who shouldn't be on that card. It's a case of I guess Hamany isn't done feeding Santa Cruz cab drivers yet. So instead of putting Santa Cruz in with Mares or somebody or the man he keeps claiming he wants to fight in Rigondeaux, instead he feeds him yet another cab driver to, you know, keep the old coffers turning. And I just feel like that's going to be a very short fight if Santa Cruz decides that he wants it to be. And if anything less than that is going to be surprising, honestly.
Right.
And,
or obvious.
And it's a,
him yeah. obviously carrying him maybe to the mid rounds. You know.
Yeah. Six rounds or less.
Tops. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say six tops, and I agree.
Oh.
There we
yeah.
go. What else you got,
yeah,
Dave?
Let's see. We have coming up. We got Rocky Juarez. No, we get the Rios Alvarado. We don't know what's going to happen. Alvarado just got nailed. He's in fucking jail.
Yeah, he got
whatever
popped.
His deal is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those things where it's Alvarado is man. You know, I wanted to call him damaged goods so bad, but then you get to the point. Does that mean Marquez is damaged goods now too? Because I didn't expect that fight to be as good as it was.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. We have Rocky Juarez versus Robinson Castellanos.
That I hate giving opinions when I don't have enough information to back them up, and that this is going to be one
of
those times.
Don't give a shit. Just spit it out.
No,
I'll go. Which one of them is managed by Al Heyman?
Oh Jesus Christ! You know what? I'm not even sure. I'll bank on probably Rocky Juarez. No.
Next one. Is there a next one?
Who we got February, yeah. We got Jermaine Taylor versus Sergio Mora.
Oh, please don't let that happen.
That fight would have been bad 10 years ago. Sergio Mora is probably the most boring fighter. I don't know. And he's not just boring, he's ugly. He's like if you took the worst qualities of Saki Obika and mixed them with the worst qualities of Floyd Mayweather Jr., minus the outside of the ring stuff, and then decided to keep putting them in the ring over and over again.
Oh
but
my
he
God,
just might be the only professional boxer to not accidentally even kill Taylor in the ring. It might be the safest
yeah.
match at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
So thank goodness for that. But I still don't want it to happen.
These are all
it's one of those things that just made boxing look bad. There's no way
yep.
boxing looks good after that. It looks a little bit worse. That's what
yeah, this whole list is getting worse as I go on. We got this is a no brainer. We got Golovkin versus Martin Murray.
Oh, Martin Murray,
yes.
Inside of three. No, I'm joking.
Well, Martin Murray. I mean, he put up a good showing up against Martinez. Surprisingly so, especially in Argentina, I think it was that they fought. How many times are we going to hear, well, this is the toughest guy that Golovkin has fought?
Right.
I mean,
This is me after the fight talking about it, and I'm gonna record this, and I'm just going to press play after the fight. That's how sure I am of this. Triple G looked great, but I still need to see more out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Period. That's it. It's another fight. It's turning almost Tyson-esque. It's turning almost into tomato can after tomato can, where we're not really seeing much. And I'm worried if his guys don't start pushing him soon, when he does get pushed, it's going to be ugly. If he's not challenged soon, it's going to be too late to build some kind of character in him as a boxer where that when he's finally pushed, he's going to fold up.
No, I agree with you on that side of things. It's I mean, folks have to realize that he might be relatively new in the U.S. scene, but he's a guy who's already in his 30s. He's not a 22 or a 19-year-old kid who's never faced. The thing is this guy is about as developed as he's going to get. You know, when you see him in with the tough guys, he doesn't really have a higher ceiling than he has right now, which, granted, is extremely high from what we've seen. But it's like you said, though. You know, he's done fighting like, you know, the Murrays of the world and the Rubios of the world. What happens if he does decide to go up and wait and fight Ward? And, you know, let's just assume that Ward's had a tune-up fight or two first, because otherwise that could get ugly the other way.
Yeah,
it's just, you know, he gets them with someone like Ward who's slick and who has enough power to hurt him. I mean, he's got a great chin. He's got a great punch from what we've seen so far. But he hasn't exactly been in with the world's greatest punchers in the world. You know, we saw him with Gil. Gil was like, I don't know, he somehow managed to pull off making the 160 limit while hitting like a light-hitting 147 guy.
It kind of asks the question, what a boxing purist, I suppose, would say he needs to stay in his division and clean it out and then clean it out again and then clean it out a third time before thinking about moving to another division. And then there's the other side of the coin that says, like you said, you got to move up. You got to see what else is out there. And what else is out there might be Ward, and that would be what might qualify as a super fight, maybe.
If Ward drew more than his high school reunion class to fights, I mean,
That's the problem with Ward. We're already remembering him in this weird nostalgic way, when in reality, when he was fighting regularly, when he was an active boxer, he couldn't fill up a phone booth with people willing to watch him fight.
No, they
and
did
he
make
was
it
boring.
A good...
And not personable, and just not the great, great fighter that a lot of people seem to remember him as being. A very good fighter, don't get me wrong, but we don't know how good still, because he's not active now. And he's being inactive during a very important part of his career when he could be in his prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to point out, when Golovkin sold more tickets at... Ward's hometown than Ward ever did, which is saying an awful lot. I mean, the fact of the matter is Ward has this great record. He has he has the belts, of course, in the 168 division. But
and how does he still have the belt?
That's what I'd like to me. And this is just, if you can't defend your belt for a year, and I'll be honest, I don't care what the reason is, prison time, illness, contractual problems. When you're out of the ring for a year, you lose your belt. How can you say that you're the man in the division if you haven't fought anybody?
Exactly. You're an inactive fighter. Okay, taking Ward, inactive fighter, off the list. What else would get Triple G out of his comfortable division?
You know, the thing is is once you start getting into the heavier weight classes, it's not like when you're Manny Pacquiao and eight weight classes is 16 pounds or something ridiculous, you know? I mean, you're jumping up. I mean, say he goes to 175, that's a 15-pound jump. I mean, that's, you know,
and
people
he's
talk
not
about
a huge,
it.
He's not a big guy for the weight class he's in now. He often fights these guys that look like they're bigger than he is.
Right.
Which
and he
adds to how impressive he is.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a little guy.
I would think that it would be easier for him to get down to junior middle or maybe even closer to welter than it would be for him to go up effectively to light heavyweight. I think the biggest problem he's going to... Well, the thing is it goes back to his age, too.
Especially when you look at his style. When you look at his style, he comes in shifting. He cuts the ring off. You know, that's what he does. He doesn't have the fastest feet, but he uses his footwork very, very well because it's very, very simple. Again, not taking anything away from him. That's his game plan. Simple footwork, cutting off the ring, coming in, shifting. And I don't think you could do that as a littler guy against a bigger guy. And I'm not even talking about, they'd be meeting in the same weight class, of course. But
he's a stalker.
Physically, a smaller guy. And he's going to be stalking a much bigger, a naturally much bigger and more powerful guy.
Can you imagine him trying to intimidate Kovalev? I don't see that happening.
I don't think that.
That's the next. Well, we get two more fights to talk about.
Okay, let's do that. Let's do that.
You guys want to shut up about this fucking Golovkin guy for 2 seconds? all right, the next fight is perfect. It sounds like a gay porn, and I know it is because I directed it. It's Tyson Fury versus Christian Hammer.
Christian Hammer. First of all, as a Hebrew American, I might be a bit biased on this, but I prefer my Hammer surname to have the given name of Hebrew, because Hebrew Hammer is far, far superior than Christian Hammer. And I'm not speaking in a theological sense. I'm speaking alliteration. Hebrew Hammer trumps Christian Hammer.
But what about Thor Hammer?
As far as the fight, is Tyson Fury... Okay, when I think Tyson Fury, I think, why is he fighting these guys? Why is he fighting these guys twice, as in his last outing? And what I hear from Tyson's supporters is he can't get any other fights. I don't know if there's truth to that. I don't know what the situation is, but his career, to me, makes absolutely no sense, Tyson Fury's.
No, I have to agree with you on that. I think the big thing here is that with Tyson Fury, when he was first fighting Chisora when he came back, I thought he already beat the crap out of this guy, and that guy hasn't exactly – I mean, he's looked decent, but he definitely didn't look like a world beater. So what's the big enticement to watch a guy coming off a long layoff to go beat up a guy he already beat up? And
my take on it was Tyson Fury, smart enough guy to know where his ceiling is.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell to Chisora for whatever reason, or maybe not Chisora proper, but that level of competition was as comfortable as he felt extending himself to in what he thought would be a successful way.
I thought it was almost like more of a tune-up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but a tune-up for what? A tune-up for a tune-up?
Yeah,
a
that's
tune-up is generally followed by a fight.
That's the part that really surprised me, because after he beat up Chisora, I thought, okay, now he'll make his run at Klitschko, and instead we get this, I can't even remember the name of the guy who's fighting him now, the guy who beat Mike Perez in his last fight in one of the most boring, awful fights I've seen on television.
Jennings?
Yeah, Brian Jennings. And I saw him beat Perez, and I thought, well, first of all, Perez has been damaged good ever since he fought Abdusalamov. I mean, he just looks like he doesn't want to hurt anybody anymore. And, and Jennings just, I'm thinking, okay, you know, is Jennings better than Fury? I don't think so. Does he have a bigger fan base than Fury? I don't think so. So is this, and the other side of it, it's like, you shouldn't, I mean, I guess Vladimir's been on top so long, he doesn't need to chase people to look like he's the guy on top. But at the same point, it's like, really, out of all the American heavyweights you could be fighting right now, you pick Brian Jennings? Really? I mean,
yeah.
You know.
I don't get it.
He might as well
and he has a mandatory. He has a mandatory against Fury. So it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think in Europe that could be a much bigger fight than Jennings would be in the United States. And I think there'd be more money on the table. I think that matchup-wise it makes more sense. It's just, I don't know, I don't see Vladimir looking at a guy who got dropped. Vladimir running from a guy who got dropped by Steve Cunningham. I don't see it.
It's a weird mix, because every time I see Klitschko fight, either of them, and Dave and I talked about this before, and I'll say it again, it looks like the future when I see them fight in, like, Germany or wherever the hell they're fighting in Eastern Europe. It looks like the future as, like, predicted in 1992. Like in 1992, this is what they thought the year 2015 would look like. And
Klitschko comes to the ring
wearing like a silver jumpsuit and a weird headband. And couple that with Tyson Fury's, as you say, fan base arriving in caravans
Yeah.
And,
all right.
and being surprised that they're not fighting surrounded by bales of hay and not knowing what to make of that. It's a good fight.
Oh, you just show up in coveralls.
I mean,
it'd be awesome.
It's a fantastic. The press conferences, Tyson Fury fighting for the world heavyweight title. I want to see the press conferences.
He's like a more articulate Shannon Briggs.
I want to see Tyson Fury win, and I want to see Tyson Fury go up against Shannon Briggs. And if that makes me a bad boxing fan, so be it.
Hey,
because
if I can't be entertained
by fantastic pugilism, I want to be entertained by entertainment. So I'll take it where I can get it.
If the half hour or so of the match is boring, at least let the 2 weeks leading up to the match be interesting.
Exactly. And you know what? Play highlights of the pressers during the match. Cut away from the live-action match. And just play, like, old Tyson Fury interviews while they're fighting with Klitschko wrapped in tinfoil. Because nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, with him walking around with Hayden Panettiere.
Right, and there's weird lasers under the ring. You know?
Yeah, the
like
light
blue
show.
Blue lights. Yeah, there's a light show happening under the ring.
We,
it's like a
we have,
concert.
We have, like, 4 minutes, and I want to get a quick Kovalev, Jean Pascal coming up March 14th. It's going to be a good one.
Go ahead, Jess.
This is a decent fight for Kovalev. Jesse,
you want to take it or? Oh, I think Jesse dropped. Anyway, I just sat back down behind my control station. He gone. But Kovalev,
Kansas himself.
Everybody's making a big deal. It didn't take him long to walk his dog all the way from Boston to Kansas. He must be in fantastic shape.
I know. If anybody sees a enthusiastic, you know, boxing fan ice sculpture on the lawn, it's Jesse Evelino.
It's not an ice sculpture.
He's a guy. Get him out of there.
Get help. Get him a hot cocoa. Put some booze in it.
Yeah.
For crying out loud. Oh, Jesse's back. We'll close out the show with him. Because we'll close out the show with Jesse. Jesse, thanks for calling back in. I don't know if you dropped me or I dropped you, but...
No, I dropped you guys
out. Show.
I'm glad I can contribute.
It was fantastic.
You have no idea.
You
single-handedly saved the show.
Jesus.
I'll wear a cape to the next one. That's my style. Just I'll have to make sure
Kovalev.
I cut a mouth in it this time.
That's what Jesse does. Jesse constantly calls in to fledgling boxing podcasts and helps them get on their feet. That's what he does.
Oh, yeah.
Three or four
nights. I single-handedly started Larry Merchant's TV career. That's a little-known fact.
That's great. 90 seconds left in the show. I'm going to say Kovalev easy. I don't see why everybody's making a big deal about this fight.
Kovalev, Pascal? Kovalev Pascal has high level knockout show written all over it.
Right. And it'll be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be on his reel. They'll put it on YouTube with DMX rapping in the background.
Yeah, it's
you know, but
if
it's
someone,
not going to be much of a fight.
He'll handle him, and it's a big enough name to make it important, something that Golovkin hasn't had so far.
60 seconds left. This is NSK Boxing. With me was Jesse, also Dave. This was a wonderful show. Check us out, nsk.blogspot.com. Look for us on Facebook and Twitter, NSK Boxing. And, Dave, you want to put a ribbon on this?
Hey, give us a like and check us out on NSK Boxing on Facebook, and also check out our website. I think Cap already said that, nskboxing.com. And I know we tweet, but it's just a matter of when.
Jesus Christ, way to end on a low note.
And check out that Larry Merchant guy. And check out that Larry Merchant guy. I heard he did a couple good things after I helped him out.
Yeah, that
give him a hand. And until we meet again, which will be next week, may the goddess leave a twinkle in your eye.
Ding, ding, ding.